Welcome to Holistic Accountant Podcast, where we aim to showcase how adopting a holistic approach in accounting and tax maximizes value for clients. Beyond traditional tasks like preparing financial statements and tax returns, a holistic accountant focuses on offering advice that maximizes personal wealth on an after-tax basis. If you enjoy this episode, please consider leaving a rating and sharing it with those who might also benefit. And to ensure you stay updated, subscribe to our weekly email. The link is in the show notes. Okay, today Mina and I would like to talk about how a business can borrow to obviously fund growth, or even if it's a startup business. It's something that I think we don't do very well in Australia in terms of sort of backing entrepreneurial talent. And I think part of the reason for that is that we've had the big four really dominate the banking industry for a very long period of time. And a lot of people that listen to this podcast won't really remember the 80s probably, but you know, that the 80s, the NAB was pretty aggressive in business lending and almost fell over, bust, as a result of making some pretty silly bets. Although that was par for the course in the 80s, it was a pretty crazy time. And I think all the banks have kind of overlearned that lesson to the point where their risk tolerance is very low. The consequence is that it's very difficult to get funding for a small business in Australia. You've really got to prove that you actually don't need the funding. And then the banks are kind of willing to give it to you. So that's the first thing that I would say, is that it's really difficult. And unfortunately, it doesn't really look like changing. Although some very small banks like Judo and so forth have kind of come into the market to try and capture that market. But we really do need banks willing to take more risk. And it's a very important part. You know, small business is a very, very important part of the overall economy and generates a significant proportion of GDP. So again, there's a good reason why, from a social perspective, we want the banks to be able to do that. Now, borrowing for business is a lot different than borrowing for personal purposes. So when you go to the bank to get a home loan or an investment mortgage, they're really lending against you, the individual. You know, they're going to be very interested about your employment income, your employment status, how much you spend. It's really all about you, and the security is kind of secondary, you know, the security being the property itself. With business lending, it's very little about you as the individual and almost all just about the business. And essentially, a bank will want comfort over future cash flows. You know, so how predictable are your cash flows? How strong are your cash flows? Because that really then informs them on, you know, can you afford to take on the debt? Is it a good, robust business with a strong balance sheet, strong profitability and strong cash flows? Or is it something different to that? And that's really the focus.
So what the bank tends to look at is their securities. So what guarantees their investment? So general, obviously the easiest security that the bank could take is property. And usually when property is involved, business lending is a lot smoother process. Obviously, it's a business that, you know, you're starting as a greenfield, or, you know, you're not exactly certain of, you don't necessarily want to risk your property. So the secondary option usually is an unsecured lend, where they'll take a GSA or a general security agreement over your corporate entity. Now, that's obviously a lot less risky in terms of the fact that, you know, you're not putting up any particular property. But in more often than not, the bank will actually ask for a personal guarantee as well. So it's very important to know, look at your asset structure when you're starting a business to try to limit your exposure, whether, you know, for example, your home should be in your partner's name or similar, just to sort of protect your interests. So it's really important to sort of look at your loan documentation in detail to ensure that you're not sort of overcommitting yourself just in case things do go pear-shaped.
You know, offering property as security, Mina, is obviously going to impact the interest rate. So if it's unsecured, you know, it's just a GSA as security, you're going to pay a higher interest rate because it's a higher risk. So I guess the question that people would ask then, is it worthwhile for them to put their home or investment property up as security for a business? I think if you've got business partners, you probably wouldn't want to do that unless they're putting their properties up as security as well. I think if it's a business that you're just running yourself, it's going to depend on your risk appetite. Remember, security only comes into play if you stop making the repayments. So if you're comfortable committing to the repayment commitment,
commitment profile of that particular loan, well, then maybe putting up your home as security or an investment property as security isn't such a bad idea in terms of minimizing interest rates. But that's just something you need to really think about in terms of with your advisors about whether it's going to do it. And obviously, it depends on the risk profile of the business. Now, the big banks typically separate themselves into sort of different segments within their commercial banking operations. Most banks will typically have a specialist area for medical practitioners. And so that will serve people that, you know, are buying into medical clinics, starting medical clinics, fit outs, all those sorts of things associated with, you know, anything in the healthcare space. They will typically have a separate division for property development. So that could be, you know, small scale development or very large sort of commercial developments. Another separate team would be for franchises. So most established franchisors would have a relationship with a bank or maybe a couple of banks that would have predetermined sort of credit policies that associated with any new franchises that they're selling, which means that it might say, for example, that a particular bank is willing to lend 50% of the franchise cost without any security at these interest rates and terms and so forth. So you don't need to then reinvent the wheel in terms of buying into a franchise. So that's Medicos. Property developers and franchises typically have their own teams. Some banks might have other specialist areas, but that's not as common. And then it's just a catch-all in terms of the rest. They might have specialist people in particular industries. So you might find that if you make an inquiry to ANZ, for example, and you're in a particular industry, you might get funneled to a particular person. But it's just important to understand kind of how the banks are structured.
And it's important to get a good specialist broker behind you. There's a lot of brokers out there who sort of market themselves that they, you know, deal in business lending and so forth. But it's also important to have a broker that will go in there and bat for you. For example, we had an instance where we had a client that was buying a business which the vendor wasn't exactly showing the sort of the true figures or the true income on their financial reports. Now, this broker was able to dissect that information further by getting sort of point of sale reports directly from their system. You know, he worked with the accountant to sort of backtrack an actual P&L and cash flow forecast to present to the bank and position it in a way where the client could get the appropriate funding. So it's really important to select the right team behind you to actually get the funding that you need and to understand the numbers behind the business that you're purchasing.
Yeah, and commercial loan broking is worlds apart from just traditional residential loan broking. So you might have a relationship with a mortgage broker that has helped you with your home or investment loans, but you really need a specialist. It's something you need to be doing every day of the week. You need to be able to read financials, understand businesses, and also it's very relationship-based as well, I should say that. So whereas home loans are rather sort of commoditized products, where business lending, you know, if you've got good relationships within a bank, that can very much help the sort of approval process. And of course, there's other products available too outside of the big four, some low-doc style products, you know, for people that are unable to provide the sort of full information. Typically, you need to have property, real property as security. So whether that's commercial or residential, they don't tend to do sort of cash flow lending. So just GSA as security. But again, a really good broker is going to be able to present a couple of options to you. One might be a little bit more difficult and one's an easy one that might attract a higher interest rate.
The last option is to go to the business.gov.au website. And although it might not cover most instances, but there's sometimes a grants or loans that you can get directly from either the state or federal based government. And if you go into that website, just under the grants and programs finder, if you just put in your state and the industry that you're in, it'll tell you sort of options that are available to you and whether there is options, whether you can get a grant or, you know, a government backed loan to help you start the business.
Who's not going to say yes to free money? Anyway, I hope that that's a good starting point. Probably the main thing I would leave you with is that if you need funding, finding a really good, experienced commercial mortgage broker is really probably the easiest option. Okay, that's it for us this week. Until next week, bye for now.